Is your money not sure what to do with itself right now? At Ally, they'll help it save for the future with their smart savings tools. Bucket your money for the things that matter most. Analyze your spending and save automatically. All on top of a competitive rate. For all things money, you deserve an Ally. Visit ally.com/savings for more info. Ally, do it right. Ally Bank, member FDIC.
Crazy old man, back in his attic, back with the hat. Wilbon, I'm beginning to like this hat. This is episode 86.
I thought you would.
And we're going to start with the NBA. There is agreement between the players and between the owners that the NBA will attempt the restart on July 30th in Orlando. Everybody is on board with that. But recently, 302 NBA players were tested, and 16, a little over 5%, tested positive. In Florida today, 9,000 people tested positive, which was a record. Given all that, are you confident that the NBA will be able to pull off this restart as scheduled?
Well, Tony, if we're talking about confidence, we'll put it on a scale of 1 to 10. And I'd say I'm about a 7 or 8. You know, reasonably confident, but, you know, I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, I just know this is going to happen. No, I don't. We don't, you know, the one thing we've been saying, you and I, and I know I've been saying it even more often since about March 10th, is I don't know. Don't know what's going to happen. You know, they're going to be positive tests. I mean, Adam Silver said, you know, there's no risk-free solution here. And so when you give me that number, I mean, I know it's like more than, say, the Bundesliga, but the United States of America didn't do as good a job as Germany when it came to identifying, you know, controlling, flattening, and then reopening. We didn't do a good as job. So the Bundesliga, the German right. numbers are going to be lower than the NBA numbers. But Tony, I think they'll start it. I would hope they can start it and finish it. Hope.
The important thing to me is not when they start it. The important thing to me is flexibility on when they end it. Because I can see them starting it and stopping it and starting it and stopping it again. If they can go all the way through, which I think they should, because after each round of the playoffs, you have to get through these stupid 8 games to just make the whole thing bloated. When you get to the playoffs, half the field disappears. It should be a little bit easier to control at that point because there'd be a smaller pool of people who can get the virus. Mike, I think if you're in a bubble, I think you should be okay. I think if you quarantine in the bubble and nobody has it in the bubble and everybody in the bubble is affiliated with the NBA, to me, you do have a good chance of doing this. And if you have to stop and start again, okay, you'll get to a championship.
Yeah, Tony, I think the big question is, you talked about the numbers in Florida, which are just alarming. Is yes. there going yes. to be interaction between that populace of people with the people in the bubble? And if there is, and we hear all these things, okay, nobody who is staffing or servicing should ever be in a room at the same time with people from the NBA. Okay, that's a should. I know there's a plan. We can drag out that line from Mike Tyson. Everybody's got a plan until you get hit in the mouth.
That's right.
Well, so what happens right. if there is this commingling that by policy is not supposed to happen? We don't know. But Tony, yeah, I agree. You know, they seem to have put together the most thorough, most comprehensive plan you can come up with to keep people from acquiring the virus. But I, you know, nothing certain.
Right. I don't think we would use the word confident. Look at golf, for example. Golf's the easiest thing you would think to control. People are dropping out every day with positive tests because they're not in a bubble. To me, if the bubble is sealed and you don't have Novak Djokovic slithering around on a disco, then you've got a chance. We're going to move on now to college football. Yahoo is anonymously quoting some Power 5 college football coaches as saying they don't think it's realistic to go through a full schedule of college football in the fall because of the coronavirus. And they're also wondering why more colleges aren't thinking about pushing this until next spring. Wilbon, should college football consider playing next spring?
College football should consider everything, anything and everything that would work. You put it out there on a table and you discuss it. and they may get to this. I'm not surprised that college football hasn't talked about it much. College football is about habit. You know, look, I can be critical of college football because I'm one of those crazy, silly boosters and season ticket holders, and I go to multiple games every single year, Tony, for a long time now. And this is about habit and what we'd like to think of as tradition, which is simply habit. And so they don't want to play, you know, and I'm sure that the networks, our bosses included, everybody wants to have this when they want to have it, which is Labor Day through Christmas, bowl season, because that's what we do. Well, you may have to consider something else. And I think these coaches are sounding a warning note, Tony, which needs to be paid attention to, but I suspect right now, for the most part, is not.
So there's a great phrase that's often used in politics when people don't want to vote on something, which is called kick the can down the road. Don't deal with it today. Deal with it down the road. Because everything looks good down the road. Spring looks great now. But you know what? September looked great in April to the NFL. You know, because I'm not sure that the spring is necessarily going to work here. I mean, I would do it. Please don't tell me, oh, we can't have a spring college football season and then a fall college football season. Why? Because you're afraid the players might miss too much class time. Stop with this. You can do whatever you want. I will say this. These are college kids. They're not getting paid. You cannot use them like lab rats. You can't.
Tony, good point there. But I'm going to say, look, if you think the spring might not look good, how about Labor Day? If the spring doesn't look good to you, then Labor Day must be awfully foggy and cloudy, Tony, because we are so close to that. I mean, we don't even know. By the way, we talked about a bubble and how thorough and seemingly, you know, a better condition that was.
They're not in a bubble.
They're going to go to class. No. Really? They're going to function in a college environment where people are all over each other as a matter of course for 400 years. They're going to do that and then test negative and go out and play football. What? So college to me is just like they see no evil, hear no evil. They don't want to deal with it at all. They're going to have to deal with it.
Well, like, I think I'm right about this. I think Texas and Clemson, and they haven't even started practicing, but they've had over 20 people on each
LSU
team test positive. Yeah. Now maybe they're thinking, let everybody get it now, and then down the road, everybody will have immunity to it. And maybe that's the case, but to me, college football is less of a starter than any pro sport, to me.
We agree on that, Tony, which is why we're going to be discussing this increasingly as we get through the summer. Let's move to a sport that is also supposedly going to reopen, baseball. Caesars Sportsbook has released its projected win totals for the upcoming 60-game season. And the Dodgers top the list with a projected 37 wins, Tone. Do you consider the Dodgers the favorites?
So if we're going to do a gambling story, I will tell you what I would gamble on. I'd gamble on the over on that particular number, not necessarily with the Dodgers. If the Dodgers are the number one team and they're going to be 37-23, I would gamble that at least one team won at least 40 games. The Dodgers are a real good bet to make the playoffs because they got all their hitters back and they added Mookie Betts. All right, and with a universal DH, that's great for them because they actually have too many outfielders in the National League if you don't have a DH. But would I bet on them to win whatever the World Series is? No, I would not, because they get there all the time and they don't win.
I have no stomach for and no interest in these phony discussions. I'm supposed to like be passionate about a baseball season as if it's a baseball season. We don't know what the hell's going to happen. You and I just spent this entire block saying we don't know. We don't know what's going to happen inside or outside a bubble. And so I'm supposed to like start talking about war and RBI totals. Stop it. This is phony. It's phony enthusiasm. And when I hear it on whatever network it is, and whatever the sport is, I think, stop the phony enthusiasm. There's something more serious to be dealt with. Like, is this sport going to take place? Are they going to reach opening day? Are they going to reach opening day then when they think they're going to reach it? All of these serious things must be discussed, felt, considered before I get to somebody's damn win total, which I don't even care that much about speculating on. That's me.
So what I'll do is I'll go the other way and I'll talk about it as a story because I sort of like it as a story. I was interested that the next three teams under the Dodgers with the highest projected win totals were the Yankees and the Twins and the Astros, all three in the American League. The indication is that the gambling people think the American League is more easy to navigate than the National League. What I'm totally interested in, of course, is the Nats. Do you know that the way it works out, Mike, you play 40 games in division and then you cross over league to league, assuming you go 60. So if you're in a tough division like the NL East, like it gets to be that much harder to make the playoffs. Then you cross over to the AL East and you get Boston and you get the Yankees and you get Tampa. I find that very intriguing. I'm not going to throw cold water on what you're saying, but we say it all the time. We both don't know if anything's going to be played. So that was a nice respite for me. That was something to talk about. Let me move on to what I think is a pretty interesting story.
When we get to it.
Okay. All right. I'm going to read this because I want to get the name right. There's a 15-year-old kid in California, 15, named Mikey Williams, who is already rated the number one basketball prospect for the class of 2023. Wilbon, that's a long time. And you talk about kicking the can down the road. He has raised the possibility of playing at a historically black college. And just by saying that, other people in similar positions have begun to think about playing at a historically black college, according to an ESPN story today. Could you see a shift where kids of this magnitude, highly recruited, would go to black colleges to play?
No. You know, one of the things that we have discovered while we sit around for 100 days and we have so little to consider and so little to watch and so little in the way of new content or reasonable content is people just hype up stuff. They just hype. I would love it if any one of these kids say, you know what? Let me take my visits. Let me include in my visits, you know, Howard University, FAMU, North Carolina A&T, North Carolina Central. I can go on and on and on because I'm old enough to remember when all of the people my parents age, all of them, as in all of them, went to historically black colleges and universities. Okay. I would love this, Tony, but even the reasons that are being given, it would be historic and it would help your community. That's not why you choose a college, any college, and particularly a historically black college university. You choose it based on education factors. I'm going there because it's the best fit for me, because I'm going to make myself marketable when I graduate, because I'm going to function in this community in a different way than I might function at UCLA or Stanford or Northwestern. That's what I'm going to do. But those aren't the reasons being given. It's just hype. I hope one of these kids considers. I hope the parents consider. I hope more people reach out to these kids and there's a dynamic shift. Right now, do I believe this is going to happen? Sadly, no, I don't.
Yeah, so, I mean, his mom went to Hampton, so it's in his household to think about one of these schools, and that's fine. If he wants to make a social or political statement by doing this, God bless him. That's fine. But what I'm thinking is, we're talking about a kid going to college in 2023. If he's good enough to make the NBA by 2023, it's possible there won't be one and done. And he won't even go to college. You make decisions. You think about Duke and you think about Howard, for example. If you want to go to Howard, great. That's great. But I don't, and you'd make a coach very happy. But my guess is that he's not there for the exact reasons you're saying to go to college. He's there to wait to make a lot of money in the NBA. He's got that skill level. Good for him. Good for him. But if he chooses to visit and steeps himself in that tradition, that's even better. It is.
It would be, Tony, and half the kids, as we know, so many of the kids, they're just going. It's a way station. So you know what? Howard can be that way. Tony and I, the other historically black college coaches who are saying, why are they helping out Howard University's recruiting effort? Because we live in Washington, D.C. Tony can walk to Howard's campus. I'm a short drive. It's local for us. I covered Howard when they were getting to the NCAA tournament. And by the way, at one point in time, all of these players would have been going to historically black colleges and universities because they wouldn't have been welcome at the mainstream college. College and universities. Let's get a little history lesson, boys and girls. Let's stop the hype. And if they want to go, God bless them. I will be there with a flag for a parade.
Geico gets you access to licensed agents 24/7, which means that Geico is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like your mom, when you fill out really, really important paperwork on the first day of a new job.
Name, check. Birthday, social security. Is that a thing? Hey, mom, what is my social security number? Mom? Okay, let's guess. 0017. Oh, Gemini. Hashtag done.
Geico, always there for you with savings and 24/7 access to licensed agents.
Here we go for the happies. Leading into the weekend, Wilbon, happy 28th birthday, Rudy Gobert. By the single act of becoming the first NBA player to contract the coronavirus, Gobert basically shut down all sports in America. Adam Silver pulled the plug on the NBA and every other sport followed suit. Who will ever forget Gobert laughing at a question about the virus, then slapping the tabletop and touching all the microphones as if to say, oh, please, this is nothing. Well, not only did Gobert have it, he might have given it to his Utah teammate Donovan Mitchell. Gobert is a valuable player. In 2018 and 2019, he was the Defensive Player of the Year. This past season, he was averaging 15.1 points and 13.7 rebounds. He's got a fabulous nickname, the Stifle Tower, alluding to his defensive prowess and shot blocking and French origin. But the enduring image of Rudy Gobert now is a guy making a joke about what turned into a pandemic. But happy birthday.
Oh, goodness. You know, watching that video, Tony, made me wonder something for when the season presumably does restart. You know how often, particularly at the foul line, every single person has to come to the foul line and give the free throw shooter some gap, give him some skin.
Yeah.
Is that going to happen? Are people going to just naturally, because they've been doing this since they were 4 years old, do it? Has someone told them to stop? What happens? I know there's no answer. I'm just curious.
Happy anniversary, Lloyd McClendon. On this day 19 years ago, the manager of the Pittsburgh Pirates, then in his first year, got ejected after protesting two questionable calls by first base ump Rick Reed. McClendon became furious. He threw his hat in the general direction of second base, then literally picked first base up off the ground and carried it into the dugout to a raucous ovation by Pirates fans. When McClendon got to the dugout, he heaved first base down the steps and walked into the clubhouse behind it. McClendon later explained, quote, Rick wasn't seeing the calls at first base, so I figured I might as well take it with me, unquote. This virtuoso performance ranks right up there with the best hissy fits of Lou Piniella and Earl Weaver. McClendon's career managerial record is 499 and 607. He managed almost five full seasons in Pittsburgh and two in Seattle, never making the playoffs. He is currently, Mike, a bench coach in Detroit.
Tony, you know, recently, maybe last week, there was the endless reel of all the tantrums and all the rants and all the crazy stuff on the baseball field. I got to tell you, McClendon's it's way up toward the top for me. It really is. Because it was different and it was creative. And he didn't do the usual stuff like kick dirt, or if he did, we didn't see that. I give that some high marks, the McClendon tantrum. It was pretty good.
Happy trails to mannequins, robots, sex dolls, and stuffed animals in the crowd. The San Francisco Giants are doing their best to put actual fans in Oracle Park, at least in photographic form. While the stands will be empty of fans at home games, the Giants sent a letter to season ticket holders allowing them to send in an image of themselves to be placed onto a cutout that will be displayed in the stands. The cutouts will be made of weatherproof material and will be placed as close to the season ticket holders' actual seats as possible. And because every seat isn't already sold, for $99, non-season ticket holders can have their own cutout displayed. So for far less than a season ticket, Wilbon, you and I can get our pictures out there in the city by the bay. maybe down the third baseline, maybe a few rows up in left field. And because we're in the TV business and we know people, we can call the director of the Giants games and get him to show our faces. Maybe in the third inning of every game, we could wear PTI hats. I love this idea.
It sounds like you've arranged a game already, Tony, a situation where we can get our faces on. By the way, as long as we're doing Happy Trails, I got to say this. This, for now, is my last day. Happy Trails to me in Arizona because I'm coming back east, Tony. So I got to say thank you to Bob and everybody at Sneaky Big for letting me be here and not forcing me to be in an attic where we barely get on the air every day, which was your situation more than a few times. So thanks, everybody here, for that. I have loved my time here. I have never seen a game in that ballpark. I've been in the ballpark a few times. It's embarrassing as much time as I've spent in San Francisco the last 7 years covering the Warriors in the spring that I've never seen a game there. Have you been in that building? It's got to be, other than Fenway and Wrigley, to me, Wrigley and Fenway, the most beautiful ballpark.
So it's interesting that you're insulting my attic. My attic is not nearly as terrible as you think. And what you don't know is when you come back to Washington, you're going to be in my basement and I'm going to be in my attic.
Wow.
And we're doing the show that way.
Am I going to open the show by saying I'm Mike Wilbon in Tony's basement and he's in his attic? Am I opening the show that way?
Yeah, that's fun. That would be great. And then like Wednesday we'll switch and I'll be in a basement and you'll be in the attic and you can compare.
You know, wherever we are, we'll be doing the show.
Did you know Geico's now offering an extra 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies? That's 15% on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Your teenager to help around the house?
Okay, Mom, I emptied the dishwasher, vacuumed the basement, and folded the sheets out of the dryer.
Wait, what?
Oh, and next, I'm going to clean Mitten's litter box.
Are we in some kind of prank show or something? That's a camera, isn't it?
There's never been a better time to switch to Geico. Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Limitations apply. Visit geico.com for details.